This podcast brought to you by the full-time and part-time graduate business programs of Notre Dame's Mendoza College of Business. Powerful network, legendary brand. That's Notre Dame Business. Learn about our graduate programs in Chicago and South Bend at mendoza.nd.edu.
Just how much building would it take to boost big city affordability?
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Jennifer Strong in New York. Mayors across the country are faced with a growing affordability crisis. They're pledging to build thousands more housing units, but will it help? Joining us now with the story is the Wall Street Journal's Laura Casisto. Laura, new analysis suggests many cities would have to exceed the pace from the height of the housing boom.
Yeah, so I think there's a growing recognition around the country that especially rental affordability is at basically crisis levels in cities like New York, San Francisco, Boston. And so mayors have made really big promises about how they're going to build, you know, hundreds of thousands of new units. They're going to tackle this affordability crisis. But what we found is that historically, these cities haven't been that great at building housing. They haven't been building that much even during the height of the housing boom. And they're going to have a really tough time amping up production and have to take pretty drastic measures in terms of how much they ease up on building regulations if they're going to meet those targets.
So let's lay out the problem here a bit more for folks who don't follow this issue. How big of an issue is affordability in some of the cities you wrote about?
So we have cities like San Francisco, where rents have gone up by something like 60% in the last 5 years. Cities like New York that have always been very expensive, but have also been seeing rent increases in the vein of, you know, 5-7% a year. And people's incomes aren't going up at nearly that rate. In a lot of cases, incomes are more or less flat or more or less stagnant. And so that's creating huge challenges for renters, especially middle class renters, because there just hasn't been a lot of that kind of more mid-priced construction. And one of the things that's really getting blamed for that is regulation and how difficult it is to build in cities like New York and San Francisco. And there is sort of a growing recognition by liberal mayors that they need to try to sort of tackle that regulation that's standing in the way.
How realistic are some of the plans that mayors are putting forth, though?
So, I mean, I guess it would sort of depend on who you talk to. I'm sure they would say that they are. But I could give you a couple of quick examples. So in Los Angeles, the mayor has called for the construction of 100,000 new units by 2021. That's about a 25% jump from what they built in the decade between 2000 and 2010, which, of course, includes a huge housing boom. In Boston, Mayor Walsh has the city will add 53,000 units in 15 years. And in a similar sort of 15-year period from 2000 to 2014, the city added only about half that. So you're talking about doubling housing production over even what was a pretty robust time for construction.
Well, here in New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio plans to add 80,000 affordable units over the next decade. Can you put that in some context?
Sure. So he wants to add 80,000 affordable units and 160,000 market rate units, so a total of 240,000 odd units. The market on the market rate side, that's about a 40% jump from the previous record, and also probably isn't also going to be enough to accommodate demand, which is also important. You need to add about one housing unit for every two adults are expected to move to a city, and New York is expected to get something like 1 million new residents in the coming decade.
And so, are there any cities that seem to be on track with something that seems feasible that would solve the problem they're facing, or are they all pretty much in the same boat with they're not going to be able to build enough housing even under the rosiest of pictures?
So it won't come as a surprise that some of the cities that seem to be the most on track for this are in Texas, which has very loose zoning regulations. So a city like Austin, for example, looks like they're probably not doing too badly. So that's one. That's the sort of good side of things. On the flip side, you also have cities that just aren't adding and are, in fact, losing population. So a city like Cleveland or Baltimore or Detroit is probably doing fine because they don't really need to add much new housing. All the sort of expensive coastal cities, pretty much all of them look like they're going to have a big challenge ahead.
And yet, we're seeing that New York and San Francisco are starting to see a bit of a decline in rents for the first time in a long time last quarter.
Yeah, absolutely. And but again, to sort of put that in context, you know, San Francisco saw rents fall by about 1% in the last quarter. And that's in the context of a 60% jump over the last 5 years.
Fair enough.
So I think there's absolutely signs of progress, and there is hope for renters. But, you know, you still have seen a real radical transformation in San Francisco from a city that used to be affordable for middle class people to one that really isn't anymore.
As someone who left there about 4 years ago, yes.
Yes.
So anything surprise you in the reporting of this story?
You know, that's a good question. I think, you know, when you write about something enough, it's sort of like nothing sort of surprises you anymore. I think I was probably surprised. I wondered, you know, you would sort of think that that politicians, that mayors wouldn't want to make promises that they didn't think that they could keep. So I think I was maybe a little surprised by that. And I thought actually, I mean, I guess what I would say is an interesting turn of events is that historically, mayors have tended to be very wary of new construction, very wary of pushing for lots of new development because they get so much pushback from existing residents. New development really helps mostly new residents, people moving to the city. But people who are already there, who are already voters, are tend to be not that keen on new development. And so I do think that a turn of events that's important to note, and that if it works could be really significant, is that you have these liberal mayors of these big cities who have really ambitious ideas about building, about paring down regulation, and that could be a big transformation if they succeed. But that's of course the next question.
The next question, indeed. What else are you watching for in the weeks and months ahead here?
Well, so, I mean, a similar story in a sort of similar vein that I also wrote about this week was looking at the rise of land use regulation and how that is connected to growing inequality in the country. And that was sort of a really interesting one, especially, of course, in the context of the election, where we see lots of factors, lots of things are being blamed for growing inequality, but not a lot of people talk about housing. And basically what this study found is that as cities like New York and San Francisco aren't building very much housing, as prices get much, much more expensive, it gets harder for people to move to those areas. And those are areas where there are jobs and opportunities. And so these researchers looked over a very long period between 1950 and 2010 and found that what you're seeing is you're seeing this growing segmentation of American society, in part because people can't move where jobs are anymore because those places have gotten so expensive. So that's also, you know, feeding into these promises that these mayors are making. You know, it's important on a very kind of national sort of social level that they try to grapple with this problem.
Absolutely. That's the Wall Street Journal's Laura Casisto joining me here in the studio. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for listening to Your Money Matters. I'm Jennifer Strong in New York.
Make us part of your daily commute. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.